From the studios of KXAM, welcome to Tell the Truth Faster, hosted by Stuart Altshuler, marriage and family therapist. Stay tuned and learn how you can open your mind and soul to new possibilities in life. Now here's your host, Stuart Altshuler.
Welcome to Tell the Truth Faster. This is Stuart Altshuler. I'm a licensed psychotherapist, and this is a show where we deal with mental health issues from a holistic perspective every week, which means balance in body, mind, and spirit. Now, we all know that the truth will set you free, but the question we ask on this show is, how long are you willing to keep freedom on hold? And speaking of freedom, today's show is really about the impact of Gay Pride, since this is Gay Pride Weekend in the Phoenix area. And many of you who have been regular listeners know that I'm a gay man who happens to be a psychotherapist, or a psychotherapist who happens to be a gay man, and believe in the empowerment of all individuals. And the title of today's show actually is Gay Pride, what are we celebrating? Empowerment and community, or just an excuse to party? Now, before we get going, I want to welcome my new sponsor to the show. And if you listened to the show last week on living wills and the importance of it in our lives, as a nation, we've all recently witnessed the unfortunate events and circumstances surrounding Terri Schiavo. And we all tend to avoid stressful, emotional, physical, and financial charged issues. And we all have the attitude, well, I have time to deal with this, or this is never going to happen to me. But as we've seen with Terri Schiavo, and as I experienced over the years dealing with so many loved ones who had AIDS, especially in the 80s and 90s, who didn't do their durable power of attorneys, living wills, estate settlements and things like that, left a lot of chaos and a lot of unknown decisions during that time of stress and death, dying process. So I'm really glad to welcome as my first sponsor and my new sponsor, Rainbow Professional Services. And Rainbow Professional Services and Charles King is a mobile notary. And for your own peace of mind and for the well-being of those you love, don't wait or procrastinate when it comes to getting your living wills together, when it comes to dealing with all of those financial end-of-life or even during-life issues that can make life a lot easier for yourself and your loved ones. So let Rainbow Mobile Notary Services assist you with living wills, durable medical power of attorneys, and much more. Prevent problems later by planning now. So you can reach Rainbow Professional Services and Mobile Notary Services by calling them at 480-518-2090. That's 480-518-2090. Or visit their website at www.rainbowprof.com, as in rainbowprofessionals.com. Rainbow Professional Services, Rainbow Prof. PROF.com. And Charles and Rainbow Services, I really welcome you and thank you for your support of keeping me on the air. Now, getting back to Gay Pride, remember the topic is, what are we celebrating? Empowerment and community, or just an excuse to party? And I'm actually doing the show today from Pookie's Cafe. And Pookie's Cafe is gay owned, and often, you know, most of their clientele actually is gay and lesbian, but it's great food, and I really recommend people coming down here to enjoy the ambiance. The food is wonderful. The atmosphere is wonderful. They have shows, and actually I'm sitting here right now with one of the owners, and his name actually is Pookie. And is that what your parents named you?
I got beat up a lot as a child.
Okay. Well, I want to thank you, first of all, for the hospitality here. It's been really great, and the place is great. I ate here for dinner last night, and the food was incredible.
They do a good job.
And yes, you do. And you really offer a luscious and safe haven for the gay and lesbian community, as well as the community at large.
So I like luscious. Luscious is fun. Okay.
So tell us a little bit about what you offer here at Pookie's, and then I want to ask you a really burning question.
Ooh,
go ahead.
Scared of you now. actually, here. Well, we're open up 7 days a week on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturdays. I have our drag shows. Actually, we've been voted best drag bar for the longest time. And in the restaurant area, we have food from 4 to 11. Sundays, we have it's a Broadway musical review. It's kind of a sit-down dinner.
Like dinner theater.
Dinner theater, very good. Thank
okay.
you for that one. Help me with the big words. Okay. It's actually very enjoyable. We've been actually, May 18th is my 10-year anniversary here.
Right, you don't look a day over 12.
I bless you very much, right? The lighting's very good in here. 10-year anniversary, and actually my husband and myself, we've been doing this. This is like our third bar that we've opened up. We're originally from New York.
Mm-hmm.
Had a bar there, opened one in Scottsdale, and kept going back and forth. I was telling you earlier about after you fly into LaGuardia, when you're out here in Arizona, it's just not the best place to go, and we just decided to move out here.
Excellent.
So a small little cafe just actually got bigger and bigger, and mm-hmm. it just kind of escalated into something more than what I expected it to be.
Well, it's a great place, and I really, right, you don't have to be a gay lesbian to eat here.
it's such a melting pot. I have, like, actually for my shows, I have more straight people that mm-hmm. come in for the shows than I have, you know, bridal parties
mm-hmm.
that, and then just whatever it is comes in.
Mm-hmm.
You see the big tall men in dresses.
Right.
And you're trying to go, like, did you check yourself before you left tonight? All right, because they're, like, really not pretty.
Well, I remember my older brother lives in Vegas, and he and his wife, and my mom came in to visit, and my older brother has a friend who's gay, was dating a drag queen. And I remember one Christmas a few years ago being in a country western gay bar watching a drag show with my mother and my straight older brother and his wife. So, you know, fun is fun. And that's what it's about.
My first, it took me the longest time. I went to Rutgers University, and it took me about 5.5 years after my parents said, you know, get out of school because we're not paying for it anymore. So first thing I did, I opened up a gay bar. They were mm-hmm. so proud. Okay. So their first venture into my first bar
uh-huh.
was kind of, they were just really taking, my parents' names, honest to God, are Barbie and Ken. Honest to God.
And Barbie you're a Pookie, and so I'm that Pookie. Fits. And,
but, yeah, they walked in, and they were so taken back by it.
Mm-hmm.
They were just, and then they're all of a sudden, next thing I know, my father's dancing with other guys, and they just blended so well. Mom drank a lot that night. But they really enjoyed it, and they just felt, they're like, you know what, this is okay.
That's great.
And that was me, you know, and I just, that was me actually not coming out to them, but actually, mm-hmm. I have a twin sister who actually outed me. She said, she's like, Scott, you're gay.
Uh-huh.
Her real name's Scott. And they're like, Scott, you're gay. And I'm like, I don't know. She's like, please, you're gay, you know, anything. Just tell Mom and Dad, we all know. We're just waiting for you to come out.
Mm-hmm. Okay, then what does gay pride mean to you? What is this about? Why are we having this weekend? And why does so many cities all over the world celebrate what's called gay pride?
Well, because, we know of being from New York, as well as yourself, how long ago was that?
1969, I think you're heading towards.
Okay, thank you. there was a bar called Stonewall, and it was actually a gay bash, I guess, for lack mm-hmm. of a better word. And it was just kind of actually brought attention to our community more than anything,
mm-hmm.
actually showing how that we're for lack of a better word, bashed, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You know, nobody actually really knows that much about us, and usually lack of a... knowing about another, you know, kind of person or lifestyle, people just don't want to be, know any more about it, and they just kind of just sat there and want to beat up on you because they don't
mm-hmm.
know you. It's just like how white people beat up on black people or, you know, other kind of racial kind of things, and that's what it was.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like our first step to kind of, you know, showing here we are.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, which... As we talked before about this, a lot of kids don't understand what gay pride is about.
Right.
They just think it's like, hey, we get to go party and play and stuff. But in New York, actually, it is just actually one of the most special things for the gay pride, you know,
mm-hmm.
especially around the Stonewall area right there.
Right. And I'm going to talk more about that evening because actually it was a drag bar and it was frequented by drag queens and it was a bar that was raided very regularly and harassed very regularly
mm-hmm.
by the police.
Right.
And we're talking about June of 1969. And it was, you know, Greenwich Village was already known as a gay haven, but in 1969, people were still afraid to be who they are and stuff. And the ones that were evident were the ones that were flamboyant and evident, well, so like the drag queens. So
just, yeah,
and finally, the police came to raid them again, and they said, you know, enough is enough. And they rioted. They blockaded the doors. They wouldn't let the police take them. And the police finally came in. They kept fighting and fighting, and crowds formed around the whole thing, and there were gay men and women in Greenwich Village that was watching this, and it was the beginning of what we call the Gay Liberation Movement in 1969. And you're right, because we talked about this last night. One of my issues is that there are a lot of younger people who don't know history, and to me, if we are not conscious of history, no matter what it's about, we're destined, as we say, to repeat it.
Mm-hmm.
And repeating it means going into oblivion, whether it has to do with gay liberation or anything else, you know, wars and politics. You know, we see the trends over and over again. And
so let's just talk about, like, the marriages, mm-hmm. you know, the marriage that they had in San Francisco,
right.
Especially even with Rosie O'Donnell doing
mm-hmm.
it, just trying to, like, you know, strive over everybody else's prejudice
right.
is what we're trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it's actually comes down to, just actually being, you know, just I've been with my partner for 20 years, actually, just had a 20-year anniversary.
Happy anniversary.
And a lot of people do not stay together that long. And actually, I'm proud to be with, mm-hmm. you know, my partner, love him to death, but it's just, it's not recognized by anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, well, I'm kind of living in sin, and it's kind of fun. But but it just, actually, I would love to be able to sit there and, you know, just have it recognized
mm-hmm.
by the state, not to make a statement, more than it being accepted by everybody, understanding it mm-hmm. as the same as, you know, my sister's been married the same amount of time, but she's a recognized heterosexual marriage,
mm-hmm.
and it's no different, really.
Right.
Well, a little bit, but.
Well, the thing is, and I was going to talk about this later, but I think it's relevant based on what we're talking about right now. My experience has been that the AIDS epidemic destroyed a lot of who would be the elders of our community right now. And every society and every culture needs the elders, the wisdom teachers, the guides, the people who could say, this is what was then and this is, you know, how it applies to now. And the AIDS epidemic took a lot of those people that would have been the elders. I'm 55. I would, you know, in a certain sense, I'd like the show to be about me owning me being an elder
mm-hmm.
in certain ways. I think there's information and a concept and a soul source that needs to be out there. And the elders are the ones that in our society are not really respected or even acknowledged. You know, the younger gay men usually see them as the chicken hawks and the, you know, like the leches and things like that, rather than approaching them and saying, I want to know what you know. I want to know where we came from. The same way Native Americans just do and still honor their elders.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of cultures and a lot of societies really honor the elders because they're passing down the stories. They're passing down the wisdom, just like the story of Stonewall Inn, you know, is something that has to be remembered. And all too often, being in L.A. and seeing 500,000 people showing up for Gay Pride, and most of it's about the corporate sponsorship, and most of that is about alcohol, and most of that is about, you know, the physicality of things. And I really see what goes on in Gay Pride is there's very little discussion about the politics, about the activism, about the changes that are going on. I think the gays in the military and the gay marriage issues and the constitutional amendment that's been proposed and that many states have passed their own version of now,
mm-hmm.
I think are activating younger people again and getting them thinking about who am I in the world and where do I fit in and where do I belong. And I think in some cases it's even getting the heterosexuals to think it through. Am I really opposed to this? Is this really something that I don't want in my life? And I'm very grateful that in Massachusetts the ballot initiative is a couple of years off, because by then what they're going to see is, well, a few years have passed and my marriage hasn't, the heterosexuals will realize my marriage hasn't ended because of this. This didn't threaten my lifestyle. Our society didn't fall to shreds about this. And I believe that when it finally gets on the ballot in Massachusetts, I think that the voters there are going to approve and support the continuation of marriage in their community. And that's about history. That's about giving things time to change. So today's show is really about that. It's about hopefully people that are listening who are thinking in terms of the partying, who are thinking in terms of the parade and the festival, will also think a little deeper about who they are, how we fit in the world, and who are we as a community.
We can hope, yeah. Actually, yeah. Like I said, that the advertising alone actually shows, you know, naked eyes and pools and the whole thing, but they don't actually really support a lot more of what you're talking about, which actually, you know, to be well-educated, you know, in this community, people like to drink and get laid.
Well, it's not just this community. It really is.
But actually, on my end here, I have such a open group of people that come in here. Mm-hmm. So I have, like, you know, an older crowd. I have different, straight people, you know, gay people, everybody getting along, but everybody's accepting one another.
Right.
And actually everybody understands, like, you know, different, are more educated as to the background of, like, you know, gay people. I know some of my best friends, actually my best friends, John and Jamie, they're the ones who bring this to my attention mostly about background stuff. And they want to sit there and take care of it. And they're just actually more political about certain gay issues than I am, actually, which I'm embarrassed to say.
Well, I really appreciate the hospitality today. I really appreciate the support I've gotten from your staff, actually, and I'm going to read some of their comments in a little bit, because one of the things that I was really impressed with your staff is when they answered the questions about what is gay pride about for you and why is it celebrated, you must be a good mentor to a lot of them, because
they say how much they like their boss.
They answered very intelligently and with a sense of history about it, and I'm glad to see that.
I do have a good group of guys. Mm-hmm. They are actually.
Yeah, I can feel that, and we're going to continue with this whole issue about gay pride, what it is, and Pookie, thank you again for your hospitality, and I really recommend people come in and partake of the goodies here. The engineer that's here running the show remotely is nodding his head. He had an incredible lunch, and he's saying yes.
I didn't even have to give him a dollar.
So thank you for joining us.
You're more than welcome. Enjoy.
Thank you. So, with all that being said, and with thanks again to Pookie's, also want to acknowledge that Pookie has a partner named John, a business partner here, and as John and I were talking, it turns out that we grew up a few blocks away from each other, and his sister and I graduated high school together in New York City. So how's that for a small world? Now, what I'm going to do now is read an article, and I ask you to bear with me, because it's going to take me about 5 minutes to get through this, but I think it is extremely relevant. And I also invite anybody who's listening who wants to add their two cents in about this in terms of support or not in support of what Gay Pride's about and what I'm doing on the show today, the call-in number is 480 in Phoenix, 949-1310. That's 480-949-1310. If you're listening via the Internet, as I know some of you are because I get your emails from time to time, it's still a toll number, and I still invite you to call in and share your thoughts and opinions with us, and that's 480-949-1310. Now, this article kind of says a lot. I'm a pack rack of sorts, and I was in college from 1968 to 72. And I was a campus, and I've spoken about this before. The campus was in Binghamton, New York, and it's now called Binghamton University, State University of New York at Binghamton. When I first got there, it was called Harper College. And the school newspaper at Harper College was called The Pipe Dream. And some people may think that is fitting, considering 68 to 72. Most of us had pipes of some sort or another, but that's not really the where the name came from. So if you think 68 to 72, it was about politics. It was about finding ourselves. It was about making statements. It was about protests against war, as we're finding ourselves in again in terms of the Vietnam War. It was about women's liberation. It was about the gay liberation movement, started in 69. Harbor was one of the most liberal campuses in the country. It was the first campus to actually have a co-ed dorm. And I actually was in that dorm my freshman year and stayed there for all 4 years. It's a very liberal campus. And within a year after Stonewall, we had a gay student, gay liberation movement on campus and an organization, and by 1971 it was the second largest student organization on the campus, second only to the student government. So that kind of gives you a feel for what was going on there. And it was where I came out of the closet. It was a safe place, a safe haven, and I had a lot of support all around me. And in the pipe dream, which I actually saved some of the original newspapers because there were some articles that were relevant. And this was an article written in 1970, within a year after Stonewall. And the title of it is simply Homophobia. And again, bear with me because it's important enough for me to read the whole article. It's going to take me about 5 minutes. And it starts, "I know two lovers rooming together in a campus dorm who have been waking up to find used condoms tacked to their door and who haven't been able to sleep at night because several boys stand out of their room and make faggot jokes. Also, not too long ago, my lover and I were caught kissing on campus, and suppose it is these events which prompt me to write this article. There is a misprint in the United States Constitution. It should read, all men are created straight, not equal. Homosexuality is a minority of minorities. Gays are at the bottom of the heap. I suppose that in order to keep self-respect, everyone has to have a heavy that they can take things out on, and I guess we're it. Still, it seems like a sick situation to me, not only because I am a prime target, but because anyone discriminating against, or worse, hurting, someone who has never hurt anyone else, in my opinion, is sick. I've only gotten the most senseless reasons for discriminating against homosexual, no matter who I have asked. I should probably explain that the people I've asked are either people who found out that I was gay after being friends with me for a long time, or people who fathomed their own emotions on the matter and found that it didn't make one bit of difference, or people who don't know I'm gay. The first reason is that we're all supposed to be sick. Well, as of January, now remember this goes back to 1970, as of January, the American Psychiatric Association took us off its, quote, psychiatric disorder, unquote, list. What the psychiatrists are now saying is that the only sick thing about homosexuality is the way homosexuals are treated. Unless anyone cares to argue with the sacred medical foundation of psychiatry, we are now supposedly quite normal. Someone also said that they didn't care for homosexuals because the men are too effeminate. The women are too masculine. This statement seems very funny to me. I don't know any lesbians who carry ace combs in their back pockets, and I only know two true male queens. I suppose this all depends on your definition of masculine and feminine, but if your definition of a woman is a whimpering, spineless fish, and your definition of a man is a super invigorated, rock-hard creature devoid of feeling, then I think you have a problem. After all, we're all human beings capable of the same potential. I can't tell you how many times friends who don't know I'm gay, admittedly there are few, I make no attempt to hide the fact, have told me they know they could not get along with a homosexual. Most of those people would terminate our friendship if they found out I'm gay. If this situation sounds outlandish, let me tell you it's happened before. Some people are just so certain that some things that rather than have their illusion shattered, they would end something as valuable as a friendship. One of the more outlandish ideas I have ever heard is that we are more promiscuous than normal, quote-unquote, people, so much so that we're sometimes dangerous. I'd like to know who decided this is true. I wish that the people who believe in this would go to the snack bar on campus once in a while and watch the straight couples. If we're oversexed, we're not alone. As much as petting and pawing goes on there as anywhere else. Homosexuals don't need sex any more or less than anyone else does. We don't grab anything just because it resembles our own genitals. We don't molest any more children or adults than straight people do. As a matter of fact, almost 90% of rape cases involve a straight man as the rapist and a woman as the victim. And in cases of male rape, over half of the rapists are straight men, straight by classification. And we actually do have friendships of which sex is not a part. I know I have a caller, and I'm going to read the rest of this article after I speak with Donna from Phoenix. Donna, you're on the air. Thanks for calling. You there?
Hi.
Hi. Can you speak?
I really appreciate what you were saying about the elders in the community, because I am one of the elders. In 1979, here in Phoenix, I actually was the president of the gay and lesbian group who actually started. We actually wanted to start a house. We had a house that we were going to start a gay and lesbian center at.
Mm-hmm.
And everything kind of fell through. But I was one of the original Phoenix Pride starters years and years ago. And when I tell people that, they just go, okay. And so, I mean, you know, it's like it's just really lost its flavor, because my partner and I have been together for 22 years. Tom Likas used to call us on the show when he was in Phoenix. He used to call us on the show every time he needed gay people to come on the show. He'd sit there and say, you know, it's like, the gay issue is coming up. Would you like to come? It's like, yeah, we'll be right there. You know, so it's really, really strange now, because, like you said, when you tell people that, people just kind of look at you and their eyes glaze over. It's like, there's history. Oh, yeah. I totally agree.
I really appreciate, number one, you calling in, and number two, on behalf of the community, and I'm sure that if there is such a thing as the community, I thank you for your courage back in the 70s and since, and I thank you for demonstrating as an elder what it means to be in relationship, not just with your partner of so many years, and demonstrating that not all gay and lesbian relationships are short-lived, but also what it means to be empowered and committed and have a sense of community. And that really is the alternative that I proposed in the title of the show. Is gay pride about empowerment and community, or is it about another reason to party? So is this your first time listening to the show?
Yes, actually it is, because we left town for a while, and we're just now getting back in, and we just happened upon your radio station by accident.
Well, I'm glad you did, and I'm glad you were listening today, and I invite you to keep listening and to tell your friends about it. I really appreciate it, Donna.
Well, we will. We will, definitely. Have a good day.
Thank you. You too, and happy
Bye-bye.
Gay Pride.
Okay. Happy Gay Pride. Bye-bye.
All right. So I'm going to get back to this article, because obviously it's triggering some people. Where I left off was, I understand that we're supposed to be doing more than just socializing at our gay coffee houses and parties. What I mean by more than just socializing is, of course, having orgies, since all gay people are concerned about sex. It might surprise anyone who believes this myth to find out that Leonardo da Vinci and Michelangelo were gay. Then how did Michelangelo ever find the time to paint the Sistine Chapel? If you don't believe this, you might try reading some translated Italian reference books. Many other famous people who have contributed much in the lines of art and technology have also been gay. Of course, these contributions were made after the age of 40, when the sex drives began dwindling, right? I have yet to hear one logical reason for gay oppression that pertains to our personalities. Either homophobiacs don't understand or refuse to realize that we are exactly the same as they are. The only difference between us is that we can love people of our own same sex, and that's the only difference. I believe the problem in accepting homosexuals is the same problem homosexuals often have in accepting themselves. Now realize this was written in 1970, okay? I'm going to read that statement again. I believe the problem in accepting homosexuals is the same problem homosexuals often have in accepting themselves. We've all been brought up hearing how homosexuality is so wrong and bad. No one ever hears about good or happy homosexuals, only the child rapists and mass murderers. In the not-too-distant past, no homosexual in his right mind would dare show his face in public because of penal codes and his wanting to stay alive. So only the really perverted received publicity. It seems everyone is afraid we'll try to assimilate them into our culture. Why else would mothers pull their children into the house when a known homosexual comes down the street? This is currently a stir as to letting homosexual couples raise children for this very reason, which does seem senseless after all. We were all raised by straight couples, and look what it did to hinder our development. Even Mowgli, the straight jungle boy, was raised by wolves. Now remember, this is 1970. These same conversations are still going on today. And I continue. There is a more strange form of homophobia held by liberal straight friends who accept, quote-unquote, us. I'm not referring to those rare people who don't care about our sexuality and our real friends, but rather those individuals like television's Maude. And today we could talk about Will and Grace and so many others, who get off on the prestige knowing a real live homosexual gets them. In this respect, I feel like a newly liberated black slave. Up north, they're saying, "You're sure equal, now hurry up and finish shining my shoes." Many straight people think we deserve quality, although they usually temper this feeling with sympathy for us because, after all, we're missing out on a normal life. But sometimes they refuse to acknowledge the fact that homosexuals are ever present. I'm not saying that they should run up to a total stranger and cry out, "I know one, and he's human too." But when it comes to sitting at a dinner table with friends, one of whom is always making faggot jokes, and there always is one in the bunch, and instead of having the decency to say, "Shut up," knowing that a gay person is present and having his feelings hurt, they laugh along with everyone else to keep up a show. This is the ultimate put-down. I'm not including here any of those people who, in accepting us, tell everyone about us, either out of protection, mainly for other straights, or out of desire to further their own self-image. These people belong to a class all by themselves, that of thoughtlessness and conceit. Just why am I writing this article? Well, I'm not trying to say that all heterosexuals are terrible, nor am I trying to sell the product, so to speak. I'm not trying to gain sympathy for the cause of gay liberation, either. Although this article may sound maudlin, it would be pointless to try to convince you that gays' situation isn't made hell by straights, because it is. I guess what I'm trying to get across is the pointlessness of homophobia and the narrow-mindedness of homophobiacs. Although I don't believe this is an intentional form of hatred, I do think that before anyone decides to hate or fear anyone else for any reason, he should get to know them before deciding for himself what they're like. This pertains to homosexuality more than any other topic, since people have more misconceptions about homosexuality than any other minority, at least from my experience. Discriminating against someone merely because he doesn't fall in love with persons you feel he should seems like the most senseless form of prejudice, especially when there is such great sexual freedom today. One more thing. Although I've used the masculine pronoun throughout this article, I don't misunderstand me. Homophobia is by no means restricted to men. Now, again, this was in a campus newspaper on a liberal campus. I would wonder what would happen if this article appeared then on a less liberal campus, and I guarantee you if this article came out on certain campuses, even today, there would be an uproar among the student body, parents, and the administration. I also need to tell you that, remember, this is 1970, and at the end there's a parenthesis. This article was written by a member of Harper Gay Liberation who has requested that his name be withheld for the sake of his friends. So even then, a very well-thought-out article, certainly emotion-filled, certainly a bit of sarcasm and cynicism written into it, but 1970. Gay liberation has been going on all those years, and yet many of the issues that he brings up in this article we're still talking about and still debating today. And in some areas of the country, this is still a very big issue. Now, again, this is a live show from my first remote show, and it's from Pookie's Restaurant, if you want to call in like Donna did, and I thank her for that, 480-949-1310. Now, the issue has a lot of, even within the gay community, there is a lot of dissension. Even within the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, and queer and queer questioning, I mean, it's really gone on and on in terms of how we identify ourselves, because there is such diversity within the gay and lesbian community. So is one of the things we're celebrating today our humanity? We're also celebrating our diversity and honoring the fact that how some people find it hard to believe there are actually gay Republicans. This is in spite of what we see going on within the political arena, and yet a couple of my best friends are gay Republicans. So it's an old line. And in fact, in May, my guest is going to be Steve May, who is a Republican state representative who is out of the closet and discharged from the military because of that, even though he had an exemplary record in the military. So listen in May for my interview with Steve May. So we're talking about diversity within our community. And like the article that I just read said, gays and lesbians are no more all alike than heterosexuals are no more all alike. We have Republicans and Democrats and independents and libertarians and on and on and on. There's a gay community within all cultures, Native American and Caucasian and Latin and Black and Asian, and all of them bring their history into who they are today, their cultural history as well as their familial history. And really, that's what my show's always been about. It's always been about mental, emotional, spiritual, and physical health and well-being and finding a sense of balance. And to me, in the core of what gay liberation is about, it's about finding a sense of balance within who we are as human beings and as a community. So, you know, I was raised Jewish, and I was raised a Reformed Jew, and there were Orthodox Jews that didn't even recognize, friends of mine that just went to a different synagogue that was much more rigid and strict, who didn't even see me as Jewish because I was a Reformed Jew. And the same thing goes on in every community. Within Christianity, there are certain sects of Christianity that doesn't really believe that other Christian churches are really Christian because of the approach they take or the philosophy or their interpretation of the Bible. And the same thing goes on in every religion in this world, and in terms of culture and the gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender community, the diversity exists. And to me, to have a powerful healing and to have a powerful political statement and a political movement, it takes bringing it all together and getting people to the table to talk and honor their differences. The same thing that's going on all over the world, and this is why we're at war, because people can't come together and honor the differences. This is why there's terrorism, because people can't come together and honor the differences and allow people to be different instead of this homogeneous automatons where everybody acts and is the same. Now, there are a couple of questionnaires here that I handed out to some people at the restaurant, actually mostly the staff, even though there are quite a few people here having lunch today. And I want to read a couple of them because actually I was very impressed with a lot of them. And the two questions I posed to them, what is gay pride about for you and why is it celebrated? And David, one of the waiters here, said, what is gay pride about for you? And he writes, a day where we can be who we are and come together in fellowship. A day where those people don't have to hide in the shadows for a time. And why is it celebrated? He writes, we celebrate pride so that we have a chance to show our very diverse community, just like I was just saying, and have an opportunity to be out and about in a great celebration of each other and to let people who don't know that we are just like them and we are everywhere. And that was David's comments. Tim writes, what is gay pride about for you? He writes, celebrating our unique lifestyle and our ability to come together to celebrate each other and to make our presence known in the community we live, work, and play in and to show off our very diverse fashion scene. Why is it celebrated? To make sure another stone wall will not happen, to reflect and remember where we came from and to envision where we can go. I really like Tim's comments about that, and I was actually surprised that a number of people referred to Stonewall in their answers. It says to me that there is some history and knowledge about history. Travis writes, what is gay pride about for you? Being reminded there are people that have walked in my shoes. And why is it celebrated? Gays and lesbians are invisible. We need to let people know we are not afraid, so pogroms are not made against us. If you know what pogroms are in Russia back in the 1800s, early 1900s, it was when the Russians, using the Jews as scapegoats, would just come into Jewish communities and literally burn down their homes and kill the Jews and then move on horseback. And the Jews never knew when it was going to happen. And John Stern, the co-owner, along with Pookie, writes, "What is gay pride about for you? Gay pride is about celebrating who I am, having the right to be a gay man, taking pride in my community, friends, extended family, and having rights like everyone else in this country without hatred, fear, or discrimination. It's a time and place to come together as a group and celebrate our lives." Now, if you think about that statement that John made, it's really important. Isn't that why most of the people came from Europe and colonized this country to begin with? Of course, except for the prisoners that were sent to prison colonies here, like Georgia and other places. But most of the people that came of their own free will came here because they wanted rights to live in a country without hatred, fear, and discrimination. That's what our Constitution is based on. Isn't that what the suffragettes were going for when women's vote came down? They wanted rights, like everyone else, to vote and have a say in what goes on in their society. Isn't that the same thing that our political movements, we have a right here, even with people who are putting down those that are against the war in Iraq? This is our right to be against it. And people who are making statements about the Terri Schiavo issue, who were really in support of allowing her to die the way her husband had the legal right to let her die, and there were other people that were against it. You know what? This is a democracy, and people have a right to state both sides of it without us threatening the way politicians and other people have threatened those that were on Michael Schiavo's side. And in my opinion, he was on Terry's side as her husband, doing what she wanted, according to what he had been communicated. And to say that somehow we're the devil incarnate because we happen to have certain beliefs and threaten with the way some politicians like Tom DeLay and others have said, you know, threaten people who disagree with them. Now, John goes on to write, "Why is it celebrated? It is celebrated mainly due to the brave drag queens and patrons of Stonewall in New York who were discriminated against and fought back against police brutality and led the first gay rights stance successfully in our history. They were busted while watching coverage on TV of gay icon Judy Garland's funeral and would not be held back." Now, that's what John writes, and that's actually the night of the Stonewall riots was the night that people found out that Judy Garland had died, and it was coincided, and these drag queens, that was an icon of theirs, and in the gay community it still very often is. And so there were people who, like I said earlier, decided, no more. I will not take this anymore, you know, and decided to do something different, decided to say, enough is enough. And you can't treat us like this. And it led to movements all over the country. You know, it was like, I mean, there was an empowerment. I mean, if you really, instead of judging drag queens, I mean, Pookies have these drag shows here and stuff like that. And even within the gay community, there are guys who put down people who dress in drag. Now, not all drag queens are homosexual. In fact, a majority of transvestites are actually heterosexuals, and cross-dressing is something that they embrace, and there's a reason for it, and I've actually done another show you can find on the archives about it. And I'm going to be doing another show soon because someone I know who is a cross-dresser, who is heterosexual, who has a wife and kids, his wife knows that he's a cross-dresser, he just wrote a book, and he's going to be on talking about it within the next month or two. So even within the gay community, there is judgments against the super feminine, the drag queens, and things like that. And if you think about the courage it takes for someone to really express themselves as who they are, and if cross-dressing is a part of that expression and they're not hurting anyone else, and they actually bring joy and celebration to who they are through these shows, or just a sense of peace because they're dressing and living the way they choose and they feel is right for them, then who are we to judge that? who are we to stand in that way? It's just about giving permission to make choices. This is a democracy. We're not living in Saudi Arabia. We're not living in a fundamentalist country, whether it's a fundamentalist Christian country or, like Russia. The Russian Orthodox Church is making wrong. There was an art exhibit that the people were arrested and fined who put this art exhibit on because all the artists were depicting religious scenes that weren't always very positive about Jesus and others. And the Russian Orthodox Church is so fundamentalist and it has so much power again now that the Soviet Union is broken up that they actually prosecuted the organizers of this art show, and they were arrested and they were fined and they were on probation for 3 years because of it. This is censorship. We live in a democracy that Russia is supposed to be now, although they don't really know how to do it. We live in a democracy. There is a time and a place for criticism and support and honoring one another. So 1969, these things happen, and you got to think that for a group of drag queens who just said enough, we got to give them credit and applaud them for the demonstration of empowerment, the demonstration of power, and that they really showed, and in a sense, they were the inspiration for an entire movement that a lot of people have forgotten them. There's some really good films out there. One's called Stonewall. The other one is called, there's a documentary called Before Stonewall. I really encourage you to get this sense of history about what's going on. So in the last few minutes, I want to remind people that even before Stonewall, there were gay and lesbian activists. There was the Sisters of Bilitis, the lesbian group. There was the Mattachine Society. There were people like Harry Hay and so many others that really took a stand even before Stonewall made it a little bit safer. They were out there lobbying Congress and making stands and letting people know that homosexuality existed. In the 50s or early 60s, I remember a Life magazine article about homosexuality, and it's the first time I'd seen the word in print, although when I saw the article, I knew that was me, and here I was just prepubescent, but I knew that was me. And it was scary because what that article was about was the dark, seedy side of it, you know, hiding in the shadows and all that stuff. You know, that was my introduction to it. And so when Stonewall occurred, it was a very enlightening thing. It really brought some light into it. Now, I have a question that was just handed to me. Do you think it was safer on a physical violence level to make the initial stand when they did versus today? So in other words, is it a safer world? Well, you know what? I think there was safety in numbers at the time. At Stonewall. I think that there was an energy that just like a volcano building up, they finally had had enough. I think Matthew Shepard would not say to you it was safer today than it is back then. I think there are a lot of people we see who are victims of gay bashing that usually that happens when people are alone and they're seen as vulnerable. And so is it safer? I'd say in a lot of ways it's safer, or else these gay pride festivals wouldn't be happening. But back then, I think it took a lot more courage to say, I'm here and I'm different, and please, you know, not even please, to actually, what gay liberation was about was, you know, I'm here and I'm queer and accept it and get over it already. And for me to come out on a campus that was so liberal, yeah, there was safety in it. It doesn't mean that there weren't people who were upset by it, but we had support. So another question I was just handed, were heterosexual society at that time more accepting of it? I don't think society as a whole was more accepting of it back in the 60s and 70s, in fact, much less, but a lot of it had to do more with their ignorance and lack of knowledge of it. And what we have today is, you know, kids are raised today seeing the Wills and Graces on the air, seeing things written, and, I mean, look at the uproar that went on with that PBS character, Postcards from Something or Other, and there was a lesbian couple depicted, you know, who owned this maple syrup farm in New England, and everybody was up in arms because they were just showing a lesbian couple raising a daughter and having this farm and living, you know, a healthy, normal thing and providing a service to their community. So we've come miles. We've come miles, but not far enough. We still have miles to go. I mean, what's changed since 1969? Donna talked about trying to get a gay and lesbian center started here in Phoenix. Well, it wasn't until the 70s that one got started in L.A., and it was the first one in the country. And today it's the largest one in the country, and all sorts of services. And when they were developing the mental health department at the center, one of the conditions for therapists getting referrals or working with them is that the therapists themselves had to be out of the closet. They had to be role models. And there were a lot of therapists, when they were starting this in the 70s, that backed off from getting referrals because they weren't ready to come out of the closet. Now, there's a mental health center, and I was actually co-president for about 5 years of the Gay and Lesbian Psychotherapists Association of Southern California, which is like have 200, 250 members just in Southern California. And those are just the people that know about the agency and are part of it. So things have changed. Here in Phoenix, there's a Gay and Lesbian Chamber of Commerce. A Gay and Lesbian Chamber of Commerce. And they were voted recently the best Chamber of Commerce, Gay and Lesbian Chamber of Commerce in the world. And they have a really healthy working relationship and joint membership with the Greater Phoenix Chamber of Commerce. Could that have happened back in the 70s? No, there wasn't even a Chamber of Commerce. You know, the fact that I'm doing this radio show and talking about gay pride and my own experience would not have happened back then, but it's today, and there are other shows on radio, on TV, not just the Will and Graces, who I actually have an issue with because they never show Will in a long-term healthy relationship, and, you know, how many years on the air now, and only last season did he have a relationship, and they were both as dysfunctional as they came. So it's like, it was milestones, but it's not where it needs to be. And I talked about the AIDS epidemic. I talked about how it really took from us an entire generation, my generation. I'm lucky enough to be HIV negative, but lost many friends. And the focus became more on AIDS and less on gay lib. And yet, during that time, it was the gay and lesbian community that rose to the forefront, that lobbied for treatment, that lobbied for services. And if it wasn't for the gay and lesbian community, which was actually put down by so much else, and like Reagan wouldn't even talk about AIDS because it was just the faggots that had it, you know, that in spite of that, we raised money, we raised consciousness, we got educational things done in spite of the resistance. And now everything that's being done in terms of education and treatment services and things like that were started by the gay community because we had to save our own. And now they're the same services and everything else that are used in the fastest growing populations, which is the African American and Latino communities, which is, you know, women, which is teenagers. And people are still resistant to sex education in the schools to save those teenagers' lives. So I know I only have a couple of minutes left. I hope this show has made some sense to some of you. I hope that maybe some of you that are angry that I'm doing this show and that it's on the air will think about, at least think about some of the things I've said. And I really think that within the gay community, we need to take a look at how much of this is about activism and how much of this is really just a marketing ploy. Someone said to me earlier today that they're upset because gay pride everywhere should be celebrated on the same day, which is the last weekend in June when the Stonewall riots have, but people in different cities do it on different days because that way people can go around to different gay pride events because they all make more money that way. So there are some worldly issues that have to be dealt with, and finances are one of them. And to me, by spreading it out over a number of months all around the world, just keeps the consciousness and the energy moving and flowing throughout all of individuals' history and in our community. So, again, with 2 minutes left, I want to say thank you to a couple of people. Again, to John and Pookie here, owners of Pookie's, and I really encourage all of you to come down. The food is great, and the atmosphere at their shows is wonderful. The atmosphere, I mean, I look around the restaurant right now and I see parents and their kids and I see black, white, Latino people, and I've no way of knowing who's gay and who's straight, and that's irrelevant. It's a good restaurant and people come together in celebration. The other one I want to say thank you to is my new sponsor, and that is Rainbow Professional Services and their mobile notary service. And again, I want to encourage you, if you're looking to finally get your papers in order, you can call them at 480-518-2090. I want to thank John, my engineer, who has scheduled this remote, and Rob, my engineer, back at the station, and it's great working with both of you. And thank you. This is Stuart Altshuler and Tell the Truth Faster. Tune in next week and every week at 1 o'clock on KXAM in Phoenix. Thank you, and have a great weekend with lots of pride.
That I heard of once in a life.